The Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. The professional, passionate travel agents over at the Magic for Less are standing by right now to help you plan an outstanding Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation. The agents over at the Magic for Less are always going to get you in the best package possible to save you the most amount of money, but more importantly, they're going to make sure that you have the best Disney experience of all time. Don't forget, this summer there are great discounts going on to get down there for Star Wars weekends, the Frozen Summer Fun events, and more. So if you're a teacher like I am and summer's the time to go, you can save some money. So drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the specials, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 843 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. It is Friday. That's right. Last weekend was the big Easter weekend. This weekend is baseball's back. Catch your breath. Go outside. The weather's getting warmer. Grab an iced tea. Grill up some dinner. And you don't have to run from place to place to place like my family does on a holiday weekend. I'm kind of glad there's not a whole lot going on this weekend. Looking forward to doing nothing but, you know, chilling around the house and listening to some great Disney podcasts. And we thank you for downloading ours. We appreciate you taking us with you wherever you're going and whatever you're doing this weekend. And we're getting together to talk some Disney. So joining me today to kick off yet another awesome April weekend, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TGIF. Ricky, what's going on?
Yay, TGIF, I'm here. That's about it.
So you, and I don't know if we have mentioned this to our podcast audience, but you actually have survived your first week on at a 9-to-5, like really getting out there and, you know, dressing up and doing all that stuff. So how's that going? You made it through 1 week of work.
I have.
Like outside the house.
I had a 9-to-5 job. What? It's been a while since I had a 9-to-5 job, but it's nice to be back to it. So, yeah, it's been good. You know, I'm catching back on, which is always a good thing. So, yeah, but it's strange to not, you know, get to lay in my pajamas all day anymore. I don't understand this. This concept is weird to me, but, you know, whatever.
I'm looking forward to next Wednesday's listener question show, or maybe even Sunday night show, because, you know, it's like it starts to catch up with you when you're not used to, because I know, you know, you're not we've said this on the podcast for the last 7 years, you're not exactly a bright and early type person. So, you know, maybe a little sleep deprivation, it might make the show a little more interesting.
Sunday's show could be real interesting, let's just say.
All right, we'll see. All right, well, congratulations on that, because I know that you got something that's really cool and you're real excited about it.
Thank you. Yes, I am. I'm excited.
All right. Also joining us.
I don't sound like it now, but I am.
It's work. It's not. That's why I kept telling you. It's called work for a reason. It's not right. A hobby. Right, so anyway, exactly. Also joining us from MakingMagicOfMemories.com, we have Debbie. Debbie, you know what it's like to be in the workforce, right?
Oh, I don't know how it is not to be in the workforce. Thank goodness I've been blessed. Yep. So, yeah, Ricky, you're going to do fine, dear. I'm sure you
Thank
are.
You.
That's it.
Yeah, I actually love it. I love people. I love everything. I think working from home has got its advantages too.
There's a lot of days I've always said, I just want to pull a Ricky and just go downstairs and get on the computer.
Yep.
Kids, second graders don't. They have too much energy for me today. That's what I say frequently on Friday. I teach second grade on Fridays. I teach a different grade every day of the week. And everybody's always like, yeah, it's Friday. But then I'm like, oh man, second graders are going to be the end of me. By 3 o'clock, I look like I got hit by a truck. I'll tweet a picture out today at 3 o'clock, guys, and you'll see. It looks like I got ran over. And it's really just like 9 second graders. They can tear you. It's like they're like the Tasmanian devil from back in the day.
True.
Good Lord. All right, but I'm glad to have a job. So anyway, also joining us from not making Magic of Memories, we have the... I'm tired. And I haven't even taught my second graders yet. So anyway, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, I think I caught your Wednesday stuff. What's going on?
know, it's like my brain is not working. And I don't, I mean, I do work from home, so I don't, I'm not quite sure what my excuse is. Although I swear, I'm really great, like in the morning, which I'm a morning person and I get up really early. And I know I do a lot of work in the morning because I feel like I'm really sharp then and whatever. And then like as the day goes on, I'm like, ooh, I'll have to put that off till tomorrow because I don't have the thinking power for that. I mean, like, and then I try to do, I have a list of other things that I'll do in the late afternoon that I'm okay doing. So anyways, I don't know. What does that say about me? I'm not sure. But I do enjoy working from home. I really liked when I worked outside the home, but I will say there's something about going to my office. It's very, comforting.
I get it.
Yeah, I understand that.
Oh, yeah. And I keep telling Pam, there's got to be a way that I can, I mean, because I don't mind teaching, but if I could teach from home, and I know there's like university people, I'm talking like just have my kids show up in my classroom and like have a, you know, like a cardboard cutout.
Of cyber school. You need to teach cyber school.
I'm thinking about it. I'm just saying, you know what? Because if like a kid gets too mouthy, I'll just turn the monitor off. I'll just be like, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. Roman out, you know, because you can't really do that in person anyway. Yeah. So hopefully you're having a better Friday than I am. It sounds like I'm already having a bad one, but you know, second grade. I'm just telling you, people get in front of second graders for 6 hours in one day, and you'll understand. And all my other teacher friends are like, "Preach on, Mike. Preach on." They know. All right. So today we're actually not talking education today. We're talking Walt Disney World, and we're diving into a an integral part of a Walt Disney World vacation. You got to have your fast passes because those are kind of like an insurance policy. That you're going to get some great experiences with little waits. Now, of course, you're not going to have 27 fast passes like maybe back in the day, 7 years ago, if you were somebody like me who knew how to go around and, you know, spent the first 5 hours of his day getting in, you know, 17 miles running from fast pass machine to fast pass machine and setting alarms on my phone like, hey, the window's open. I can go get another one. I was great at that. And a lot of you were as well. But now we're in the era of the FastPass Plus, which is, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just a different thing. So Ricky brought up an idea of how to kind of explore this so that we can make sure that we're all getting the most use out of these FastPasses and how it changes depending on the demographic of your travel party. So Ricky, do you want to kind of explain what you were talking about and we'll jump right into the show?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so basically, you know, it's so much more of a tightrope that you have to walk now because you're juggling so much more in a way with the new FastPass system because you have to pick the right attractions for your family. And nowadays, some attractions that didn't used to need FastPass actually do need FastPass. So, and only having three, especially in a park like the Magic Kingdom or, you know, with Epcot or Disney's Hollywood Studios, you can only pick one out of the tier one attractions and two out of the, you know, tier two attractions. So it makes it very difficult to figure out, okay, what attractions should we actually get fast passes for? What attractions would work best for our family? And you really have to now take a look at it and see what works best for pre-scheduling. Which obviously before you didn't have to do because you just were like, okay, well, let's see what fast passes are here and, you know, grab one and then we'll go to the next attraction and, you know, you had a general plan, but this way you have to plan it out ahead of time. So, that's how I came up with the idea of trying to decide which fast passes are really more or less top priority. And then everything else is sort of in the middle in a way or not top priority.
All right, sounds good. And this podcast is always to help us plan better Disney vacations, all of us, the veteran Disney traveler, the first timer. And we know from just talking with our listeners that we have a wide range of experience levels with going to the parks. I mean, we have people that are Florida residents that go every weekend, you know, multiple times in a week. We got lots of cast members who listen in, but we also have lots of folks who are just curious and getting out there and, you know, buying their first guidebook and searching iTunes and they come across our show and they haven't even been there yet. And I envy those folks who haven't been there yet because like the whole, you know, that first experience is just so awesome when you don't know and everything is new and fresh. But I mean, we want to make sure that you don't make the rookie mistakes. We want to make sure you have a great experience. So, you know, we're going to kind of dive into it from all perspectives today for about 30 minutes and see what we can come up with. And again, FastPass Plus, basically you can pre-schedule three a day for one theme park at this time. And again, this thing, of course, whenever we record this a couple days early, 17 things will change with that topic right, by the time the show comes out. I mean, it's insured that you'll be able to get 17 fast passes by the time the show airs. That's just how these things always work with us. We have the worst luck. So if it does change, thank us. But if it goes to 4, I'm just saying it will happen before the show comes out. But anyway, right now you can schedule 3 fast passes for one park pre-arrival. And you can do that at 60 days if you're staying at a Walt Disney World resort. And you can do it at 30 days otherwise. So the resort guests have a little bit of a jump on everybody else. But that's not as big of a deal as people thought initially.
Also, I want to stress that you have to have park tickets ahead of time, have to have them, and you have to have them put in your My. You have to have them the numbers that are on the back put into your My Disney Experience account. So you do have you can't just be like, yeah, I'm going to Walt Disney World in 30 days and start making fast passes. It doesn't work that way. You have to have the park tickets ahead of time. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but no, I wanted to make sure that was stressed.
I'm glad you did, because the situation I'm in is that, you know, we're going down pre-cruise. The cruise is on July 10th. We're going down on July 3rd to have our week vacation at Riverside, and right now we have no Walt Disney World theme park tickets as of right now. Now, what I have to do is I have to look at my 60-day window to book my fast passes. And again, this gets with the topic. And I got to make sure what I'm going to do. We're going to get annual passes for the next year because we know we're going down for a long stay in July. We're going to be back down for Wine and Dine. We're going to be down there for Marathon Weekend. And then next summer, we're going to go earlier, you know, so that if we use that fast pass, we won't have to buy tickets again. So we know we're going to get at least 4 trips out of our annual passes. But to do this, what I'm going to do to defer the cost is I'm going to, right before my 60-day window opens up, buy us all 10-day Park Hopper tickets, Magic Your Way Park Hopper tickets, because that gives me enough days to get our fast passes. And then during our trip, I'm going to upgrade those Magic Your Way tickets to annual passes. But that covers us being able to, like Ricky said, make our Fast Pass Plus reservations, get everything set, and we'll be good to go. So that's the plan. But you got to, again, watch that to make sure you have tickets on your reservation at that 60-day mark so you're good. So I've kind of, you know, I've got all these alerts on my Google Calendar. It's crazy. You know, it's like, a Walt Disney World vacation is something that is, you know, lots of moving parts nowadays. So you got to consider that. So let's jump into this. And Ricky, you know, you have you and Brian, you're a couple, you're very flexible, but you know, you don't like to be at the park at Rope Drop all the time. So, you know, we're not going to Rope Drop. I know exactly. But I mean, we're not going to get into saying like, okay, we'd make them at these 3 attractions or these 3 attractions. Let's talk like strategy, you know, to keep it more general. So how do you go about deciding, you know, what's your strategy for the day for making your Fast Pass Plus?
Well, first of all, I know, because I'm an annual pass holder and typically stay off site. I know I'm not getting, to make fast passes at 60 days. So I am going to be making my fast pass reservations at 30 days. I know that that's the case. And actually, at this point, I don't even make them at 30 days anymore. I just kind of make them when I'm like, okay, that works. So, but in general, if I really was trying to plan, like in July, I will definitely try to plan the actual vacation, a normal vacation, like I would. So I'm going to try to do it at the 30-day mark. Now, I know because I'm doing it at the 30-day mark, I will not be able to get fast passes for 2 major attractions. One is, Princess Fairy Tale Hall, meet Anna and Elsa. There's just no way. It's not happening. Because that, I think, even sells out for the 60-day people real fast. So it's just not going to happen. The other one that I'm more than likely not going to be able to get is I'm not going to be able to get Seven Dwarves Mine Train. So I just know right off the bat I'm going to have to wait in line for Seven Dwarves. And I'm not going to meet Anna and Elsa because Brian doesn't want to meet him. So yeah, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, I know that going in. So what I really look at is I look at what attractions that typically are the bigger attractions at all 4 parks that I want to do. Now, of course, it's a little bit easier at Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom because those 2 parks you can make fast passes for anything that you want. So you're not limited to a certain number here and a certain number there. So typically I pick the bigger popular attractions because it is just Brian and me. We don't have children to have to worry about height restrictions or anything like that. So we do typically go for the mountains. And if we can't get those, sometimes I'll get Peter Pan because I know that Peter Pan always has a very long line. So I, you know, that is one that I will consider getting a fast pass for just because I know that the line is always ridiculously long for it. So, in that case, sometimes I will, typically the attraction that I will give up would be Splash Mountain in the case of, because I can usually ride that at night. Less people are usually in line at night for that one. I don't know. People just don't like to get wet at night for some reason, even in the middle of summer. So that's typically what I do kind of at the Magic Kingdom. At Animal Kingdom, again, I'm going for the bigger attractions because, again, I don't have to worry about, height requirements or anything like that. So I'm, of course, doing things like Kilimanjaro Safaris and Expedition Everest. With family, with normal families who are not afraid of dinosaurs, they will tend to get a dinosaur fast pass. But because I'm afraid of dinosaurs, I typically... that last fast pass is kind of a catch-all. It's like, well, what am I thinking that I want to do? So that last fast pass actually at Animal Kingdom is not as important to me, just because there are two major ones that I have to do, and the rest of them are kind of gravy to me. So I've done things like, Finding Nemo the musical, even though it's not the best attraction to get a fast pass for, because the shows are never. I wouldn't say never, but most of the time there are very poor attractions to get fast passes for, unless you really, 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 really have to see the show. But typically, overall, you're going to be able to get in. So I'll do something like Primeval World sometimes, just to ride it. Mike's getting sick just thinking about it. I've never done Cali River Rapids. It's one of the few attractions at Walt Disney World that I have not done. I have, I've done almost everything else, even dinosaur, but haven't done Cali River Rapids. So I just don't like to get that wet, but, that's another one that I would say. And then the harder part I feel like is actually at Epcot and Hollywood Studios, because those are parks that you have to do tiering on. And because of this, at Epcot, in my opinion, you're either going for Soarin' or for Test Track, because those are the tier one attractions. You have the choice of Test Track, Soarin', Living with the Land, and Illuminations. Nighttime shows are also not the best to get a fast pass for, because now they have the rolling fast pass. So, Mike, I don't know if you want to talk about the rolling fast pass.
Yeah, maybe we could jump in there with that. And that's the case where when you use your three fast passes that you've pre-scheduled, or if those times have passed, even if you didn't use them, but they're expired, you can then go to kiosks located throughout the parks and schedule any fast passes that are still available in the system for those attractions. So some people, at the Magic Kingdom, you can end up in a day with 9 or 10 fast pass plus experiences. If you schedule them early and tour the park hard, you can do that. But again, it depends on what you want to do. Are you maximizing the most amount of attractions, or are you being able to leisurely tour the park and know that you can arrive at noon and during the most busy time of the park still go on three headliners? So it gets back to your strategy.
Exactly. Absolutely. And obviously I'm in the sleep in category. So that's why that's the important thing to me. So I typically won't do Illuminations or anything like that. But I feel like both group B, group tier two attractions at Epcot and Hollywood Studios are, again, I feel like there are attractions that you don't necessarily have to get fast passes for, but it is nice to have them, especially now, because it's something like Spaceship Earth. The lines have grown exponentially thanks to FastPass Plus. So a lot of times, if you want to ride it in the afternoon, you need to have a FastPass here in order to ride it. Otherwise, you're going to be waiting in a really long line. I always say choose the attractions that are tier two that you want to make sure you do. But if you need to change it around, don't be stuck to the tier two attractions that you have. Kind of see, the Seas with Nemo and Friends has no line, so I can change this fast pass now. That kind of thing. That's typically what I end up doing, is if I see that there's just no reason to use that fast pass, I'll change it for something else later in the day. Same thing goes with Hollywood Studios. The tier one attractions there are Beauty and the Beast, Fantasmic, Great Movie Ride, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Toy Story Mania. So those are the ones that you need to look at. You only get one of those. For Brian and I, it's either Toy Story Mania or Rock and Roller Coaster. And of course, usually it's Toy Story Mania. We'll do the single rider line with Rock and Roller Coaster. But again, that's if you can get Toy Story Mania. That's also one that's semi-hard to get too. because it's one of the few attractions at Hollywood Studios that's a one, you know, a, something that everybody can go on. And then, ironically enough, in Tier 2 is Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. So if that's something that you absolutely have to ride, it's great because you do then have the choice of two headliner attractions at Hollywood Studios. So I think that that's pretty awesome there, too. So that's kind of what Brian and I typically do is we'll typically get the headliners if we can. And then if we can't, then we'll choose some of the moderate attractions that we know will have a line now, thanks to Fastpass Plus, and then go from there. So that's kind of how we do things. And then we'll make the additional rolling fast passes after that.
I think you did a really good job of kind of explaining, especially for the studios and Epcot, how the tiering works, because that's where you really have to make some tough choices. But again, it's a matter of, in a lot of these cases, that you're saying, okay, so I'm going to schedule a Fastpass Plus for A and be willing to stand in line for B. So a lot of times, correct, maybe you're making your decision based on which one you think will have the shorter standby line at that particular time, because,
correct,
it's not necessarily, yes, like the best bang for your fast pass, but what's the more tolerable standby of the,
right,
one I'm not
and
choosing.
Of course, what's nice, especially at Disney's Hollywood Studios and at Epcot, for Brian and I, at least at this point in our lives, is we can do the single rider line. So we'll typically choose the attraction that does not have a single rider line. So in the case of Epcot, it would be Soarin', and then we'll go stand in the single rider line for Test Track. That allows us to have minimal waits at both attractions.
Good strategy. And I will say one thing. I mean, you mentioned that at 30 days, you're not getting Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or else. I would just say always, always, always try.
Absolutely.
With the My Disney Experience app, and even going to the website on your desktop computer or your laptop, because sometimes they do show different availabilities from time to time. That's something to put into the back of your mind, that if you're not seeing it on the app, even especially at 60 days, pull it up on the computer or a laptop and see what happens, because I've had it show up on one and not on the other more than once. So
absolutely,
just keep that in the back of your mind. But, you know, never give up. Like, if you really want to see Anna and Elsa, I mean, just get on there as much as you can, because, you know, sometimes the system spits out more. And we've seen that happening a lot with the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train over the last couple of months, where all of a sudden there'll be more availability when there was none in at decent times as well. So I think it was a great introduction, Ricky. You know, you're a couple there. Now, let me ask Debbie, because Debbie, you are a Florida resident with an annual pass.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to, you know, you're not coming from out of town, so you have a different perspective on Fastpass Plus. So how do you use it for your advantage?
Well, you know, the one thing is, if this doesn't shock people, I am not a thrill rider. So that really does help narrow down the choices, because a lot of people do go for the thrill rides, the Rock and Roller Coaster and Expedition Everest. I don't. So you guys can have all those fast passes that you want. So what I do is I do try to get Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I do like that one. If not, you know, it's, to me, if it's something that you really want to ride and you know it's going to be hard to get a fast pass, then I'm not going to stress out about it. What I'll do is that I will get my other fast passes that I like, because I'm a more Peter Pan, you know, Winnie the Pooh kind of girl. So I'll get those fast passes, but I will be, let's say, first in line, or try to be first in line for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So I'm not going to have a fast pass for that, but at least I'll be there in line. I may have to stand in line for a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be as long as if I waited for an hour or two, and then you're going to really have the long line. So if I really wanted to ride it, then I would be able to just kind of go and make that my non-fast pass line to stand in early in the morning. I do rope drop. I am the first person in line if I can be, because I like to get there early. A lot of kids are still in school. I mean, school, good grief. Yeah, a lot of kids are still in bed. They're trying to get their little you know, jammies off and get the little pigtails all put pretty and get ready for Mickey.
Takes forever. Let me just tell you, it takes forever for that to happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know, right? So that's why I like to get there at rope drop, because you can actually ride a lot of things without using your fast pass, especially like in Fantasyland, because that's where a lot of the kids like to go. So I get some of the things done first, and if I want to use them and get as a fast pass to ride them now a second time, I can. But I usually just do like Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, and of course Pirates of the Caribbean is one of my choices, but I've been kind of leery on that one. Do not sit on the front, because I did not wear a rain poncho, as I did not know to, and I was absolutely soaked with that nasty water. I mean, it was awful. I mean, all the way down to the underwear. I'm sorry, guys.
And that's why it's seeing a refurb.
That's
here
it.
Soon.
It is awful. It is awful. So, but anyway, But over at Animal Kingdom, I do definitely get a fast pass for Kilimanjaro Safari. I enjoy that ride. And again, if I stand in line first, that's fine. But one thing I do kind of try to keep myself from doing is racing over there to hurry up and be first in line because it's on the other end of the park. So I'm missing all of that cool stuff in between, like all those different animals in between, like the platypus and the birds and the storks and all that. So I thought, you know what? I don't think the world's going to stop rotating if I take my time. If I get a fast pass for Kilimanjaro Safari, I may just be able to ride it once. That's okay. Or if there's an extra one down the road I could get later, that's fine. But I like to do that one, Mike, as my one of my fast pass choices, as well as Festival of the Lion King. And then I love to do the Meet Favorite Disney Pals at Adventures Post, our outpost. And as we get, like, last time I went with friends, we did ours with Mickey and Minnie, which was kind of cool. So that's a really good character spot that a lot of people, it's really kind of a, I'm not saying a hidden secret, but it's not anywhere near as busy as what I thought it would be, especially during the holiday season when I was there.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I don't think a lot of people know about it. So I think that's, yeah.
That's very helpful. Okay, now that they've heard us on the podcast. Nobody go there. But anyway, and then when I go to Epcot, one of my favorite things at Epcot is Living with the Land.
Yes.
That's like a must do. Of course, as a gardener, you know, Pam, you get this too, right? you know, it's just like one of my favorites, and they do frown on you when you try to lean out the boat to kind of get fruits and stuff. So
take the behind the scenes tour, and then you'll be able to eat the food.
And they're done that, and it's good too. And I know, there's been, I again, Meet Disney Pals at the Epcot character spot. That is an awesome, awesome thing. I try to do that if I'm with friends. I don't do it when it's just me, but when I'm with friends, I try to do that like in the morning so your hair's not like standing on end, like you just went through a wind tunnel. So you are a little fresh in the morning, but it's really cool because it's like when you want to meet like Mickey and Minnie, and oftentimes it's Goofy and Pluto and Daisy, whoever they've got at that time. You could just go boom, 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 and get all your pictures taken with so many characters, and then go and enjoy the rest of your day at the parks. So not only are you fresh and you look nice and you look decent, well, you could actually use some of these pictures for like maybe a Christmas card or something, but then you've also got the rest of the day that you can go play. But I do Living with the Land. I am not a Soarin' person. I do not do that. I'm sure it's fun for some people, but for me, no. And you're right. Spaceship Earth is getting very busy. So I personally do Spaceship Earth as a fast pass. I think that's a really cool ride. And I just can't get enough of that. They just think it's so cool. And then going over to Hollywood Studios, and I'm still in denial, but Lightsputters Action, I think that's going to be there forever. I enjoy that. I know. Don't burst my bubble. Don't do it.
Closed. Closed.
Oh, no. So when is it supposed to be closed? I'm still in denial. When is it supposed to be closed?
It doesn't have a closure date yet.
I'm just saying.
See, there's a chance. It's still out there.
I'm just saying, I saw Darth Vader and some stormtroopers out on the stage the other day, so go ahead.
Oh, don't hurt my feelings. But anyway, so today, my favorite is Lightsputters Action. That is like the coolest thing ever. And I get there with a fast pass because it is so, to me, it's full because you're waiting on people constantly go up the ramp. They always say to kind of sit up towards the top, middle of the top. I never do that. I do not like to be stuck in a crowd of people like that. So I get kind of like close to one of the first seats. I've always had great pictures, great views, and I've never had a problem with not seeing everything. So I think that's a really cool spot. And then I do Indiana Jones. I think Indiana Jones is a cool one to do. I really like that one, even though I know it's kind of like, yeah. But it is kind of fun to see what they do. And then last but not least, Star Tours. I love Star Tours. And I ride that at least twice in a row. That is, I get there first, I ride Star Tours, and then I have my Fast Pass, and I'll ride it again. And if I could ride it three or four times in a row, I would, because it's got so many different scenarios to it that you never see the same thing twice, like some people said they have. But I just think it's so cool, because you can have so much a different experience each time you get in there.
And I think what this is showing is, and again, you know, I think this is super important when it comes to planning a Walt Disney World vacation, is that it's what is important to you, because somebody might turn and say, oh, Indiana Jones, that's that place holds 17,000 people. It's half the size of Busch Stadium. You know, you should never get a fast pass there. But if it's something that you enjoy, it's a good use of a fast pass in my book. You know, I don't think that, and it's kind of what I'm going to get into, and I'm going to actually transition over to Pam, because when it comes time to make my fast pass pluses, like, okay, so if I see Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or Anna and Elsa pop up, I almost feel obligated to grab those. And then psh, there's two of my fast passes just because, you know, it's like it was available. So my brain can't shift off. It's that scarcity kind of problem where, you know, and I heard Ricky and Debbie both mention they like to get it for Peter Pan, which I totally understand that, because that queue gets so, the line gets so long there so many times. But then again, the part of my brain is saying, Mike, that's a 3-minute attraction. Where, you know, if I use it at Kilimanjaro Safaris over at Animal Kingdom, it's a 25-minute experience for that one fast pass. So I think there's just so many things. And I think, you know, as a grizzled Disney fan, I think it's harder to make those fast pass pluses than somebody that's maybe first, second trip. I mean, you know, you go down there quite often. So how do you think about these things?
So it's really, this is kind of a funny thing, because it has really changed to the point where I, depending on, and here's the thing, I don't know usually what time we're going into the parks, because we could be there at rope drop, or we could be there in the afternoon and stay through the evening, or it's really challenging. So there will be certain days when I'll like set aside and say, well, we aren't going to go into the park until the evening. And I know those. And other times, like Steve and Han will want to sleep in, or Hannah will want to sleep in, or we'll do something, we'll do a whole different park in the morning. So what I try to do most days is get my fast pass in the late afternoon. And my thinking on this is that if we're up at rope drop, you can still get so much done in the first hour, hour and a half, even 2 hours that the park is open, that I feel like I won't need a fast pass most times for that. And so that's my philosophy pretty much going in. We have really, you know, Magic Kingdom, we do usually, we always do that park, I think, at least 2 days. And so I kind of have two different strategies for it. One will be, I try to get Festival of Fantasy, and that's like the time that I think we'll be getting there around that time, or we may come in a little bit before and do like an attraction beforehand or what that we know we can fit in. But like I try starting with Festival of Fantasy, then we all really enjoy Seven Dwarfs, so that's still on my list of things that I really want to do. And then maybe I will then think about getting a spot for the fireworks, because I think that there's something to be said for a good spot for the fireworks. And Steve, that makes Steve happy. And so, you know, I'd rather wait in line for something else and not have to worry about my fireworks spot. And then the second day that we're going to be there, chances are I'll still do it for later on in the afternoon or even the evening, but I do hit some of those attractions like Peter Pan, like Ricky does, because I really, really like it. And I think that there's something so quaint about it, and the line's always hideous. So, you know, so
yeah, even though they did a new, you know, queue for it, right. No, still can't,
I don't care.
Me.
I don't touch any interactive stuff anyway.
So. Thank you very much. So I'm not the only one.
Yes. Because soap and water is the only thing that kills most viruses, people. Don't be swayed into believing that antibacterial things will do it, because guess what? They kill bacteria, not virus. So anyways, just saying.
That's our PSA for today. Go ahead.
I know, because people are very delusional about this, but I just want them to know. So anyways, but then, you know, sometimes I'll try to get a Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at night, and sometimes during the fireworks, like if we've already seen them that trip, because it's really such a cool view. Yes. That I so appreciate that. And it's just, it's like those little things. Like, that's the cool thing I think about FastPass Plus. I know that some people aren't happy with it, but I will say it just offers these little opportunities to schedule things like this when it wasn't really possible in the past. And then we just kind of look around, and I hit whatever we all are really feeling like we want to do. You know, surprisingly enough, Pirates has seen a big resurgence. That line can get really long. Yeah. Sometimes we get that just because I love it and I have to do Pirates. Haunted Mansion sometimes can get really long. Small World sometimes can get really long. I mean, there's just different things. Sometimes we all feel like we want to see, you know, the story time with Belle, which is another thing that can, you know, be challenging. But, you know, there's no shortage of things to use the Fast Pass on at Magic Kingdom. Those are just kind of my, you know, strategy at that point for over 2 days. And then when I'm looking at something like Hollywood Studios, again, I kind of have been taking the same approach to schedule it like maybe in the later afternoon or sometimes the evening, because even if we do get up first thing in the morning and we're there, we can still go wait in line for Toy Story Midway Mania. This is especially effective at Toy Story to just go right to it, even now, because first thing in the morning, the line still can only get so long in the first 10, 15 minutes. And the line is usually not that bad, so we usually do that there. But what I will do is, even though we may have gotten up and been there early, I'll still schedule a fast pass for it if I can in the afternoon, because we like that attraction. And I swear it's one thing that we could all get off and get right back on again, because it's just that fun still. It really is. And so then depending on when I, you know, have my Toy Story Midway Mania, I also do try to schedule sometimes Great Movie Ride. And one of the reasons why is not that I love Great Movie Ride so much, but I hate waiting in line for that ride. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It makes me mad. Like, I'm like, I am not waiting in the line for Great Movie Ride. So I don't know. It's just, you know, me being stubborn on that one. But, and sometimes I will say that depending on when I can get Toy Story and when we can get Great Movie Ride, I will also fit in a show, because sometimes you need a little filler, right, to fill that in. And so that's something I do too. But again, it's all about me trying to keep a flexible schedule. Like, we could have gone to Hollywood Studios some other morning and this is like the second time we're there, or something like that. So that's something, you know, I try to keep in mind. What am I going to want to do? At Epcot, again, I'm, you know, we always want to do Soarin'. If I happen to have 2 days there, which is really what you need to do to get to do both Soarin' and Test Track, I'll do Soarin' one day, Test Track another. I will not wait in line for either of those unless the line is really, really short. And that's right. Just all I'll say. We've just been there often enough. You know, now when they switch the movie for Soarin', yes, I absolutely will wait in the line for it. But we just don't need to. There's so many things we like doing at Epcot that, you know, I'll get a fast pass for it or we won't do it. I also have a soft spot in my heart for Living with the Land. So again, I'm trying to fit that in. And then sometimes I'll do Illuminations because I like the viewing area there. I think it's a great spot. So basically, again, I'm really going into this will be an evening time for me to get fast passes at Epcot, because if I were there in the morning, we would just wait in line for the attractions we wanted to go in, or we would be getting there right as World Showcase opened, which is where we wanted to go anyways, or something like that. So Epcot, you know, is along the same strategy, but has its own set of complications, because you need to have 2 days to fast pass both of the major attractions. So, you know, that's something else we do. And then finally over at Animal Kingdom, you know, I always struggle with this park in that there are some shows I want to see. The safari is the thing I want to see. And I will tell you, an experience we had last time was that we had a fast pass for, let's say, 10:40. And we ended up, we were at the parks early. It was like 9:20. And the line for Kilimanjaro Safaris was only 20 minutes. So I thought, oh, let's just, I'll cancel that fast pass, switch it to something else, to Everest or something. And so then I got in line because it was only 20 minutes. So we would have been through the line and done before our fast pass ever came up. Well, The 20 minutes actually turned into an hour and 20 minutes.
No,
I am not kidding.
Oh,
and then at some
no.
point, right, you've been in line so long that now you're committed, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I got to 3 o'clock. Dang it, I was staying in that line because I had waited so long. By the time we got up there, we were irritated at no one in particular, although everyone at the same time, right? You know that feeling. I know it wasn't the cast members' fault who were driving it, but at the same time, it's like, really? I mean, this was more than that, longer than you said it was going to be. Not that I said this to anyone, because again, I'm, you know, realizing this isn't anyone's fault, but So that was a huge blunder. And I think that is something that I always think about with Kilimanjaro Safari, is that that line, that has happened to us on more than one occasion, that they totally underestimated the time in line, which is something that Disney doesn't usually do. They usually overestimate, you know, that little wait time right. is usually longer. So this has happened to us a few times. And now I, you know, really take that into consideration that, you know, that can happen there for a number of reasons, if there's an animal in the track, if whatever. So it's hard to plan other things fast and hard around that, because then since we waited that much, that threw other fast passes off for the rest of the day. And I thought about the other people who were standing there with me. Like, these could have been people who, this is their one and only time. You know, I don't know what Disney does in that case, but anyways, it wasn't ours, and I was able to just say, let's just go back to the resort, because my family was irritated and not, and it was hot.
They weren't having it.
So I was like, just turn this around. So anyways, but you know, that's something to consider. And then we do, you know, Everest, or we fit in one of the shows. I like both Lion King and the Nemo show. I think they're both great shows. So that's typically what we do. Dinosaur, I think, is not my favorite attraction. I mean, it's fine. It's just that after you've, it's not something I want to ride again and again and again, I will say. So that doesn't fit into our radar. But I hope that gives kind of an, you know, a different approach to it, just because I need things to be flexible is my main concern. So that's what I really try to do.
That's interesting, because again, everybody's got their different perspective in mind, because we're running a little long. I'm just going to go quick on mine, but mine's kind of like Pam's. And what I will do with our FastPass Plus reservations is that, of course, you can make your advanced dining reservations well in advance of your FastPass Plus. So usually your dining is set, and usually you set your dining to either like Extra Magic Hour, evening parks, or, you know, you have some kind of a strategy with that. But what I will do is get our dining set, and then I'll build our fast passes around that dining location for the evening, because we go, you know, our vacation is in the summer when it's super hot. Usually we're down in late June or early July, like we will be this year. And so we don't mind, you know, thanks to Mike Bankhead and all the other lizards, I'm kind of a morning person now, because you got to get up and run before it gets, you know, too terribly hot in the summertime. So I've kind of just done that year round now. I get up very, very early. So when I get down there, I like to get up, get in a run, get a shower, and then go to the parks for rope drop. And the thing that I've noticed is, just like Pam said and everybody said, is you get there early. You don't really necessarily need the fast pass as much in the morning, say before 11 o'clock in the morning, as you will the rest of the day. So we'll go get there at rope drop, you know, ride some rides, just do standby for, you know, 3 or 4 hours from, like, you know, the time the park opens till maybe lunchtime. And then, of course, we bail out of the parks each and every day to go back swimming, because our girls love to swim. Man, I love to take a nap in the middle of July. I close those drapes and it's pitch black in that room, and I sleep for a couple hours and I am just golden for the rest of the day. So I get my nap. You know, we'll either eat lunch at the resort or, you know, at the park before we leave, wherever we are, we kind of decide. But then what that gives us is that gets us going back to the parks in the evening, say around 4 or 5, around supper time. And I'll either schedule one Fast Pass Plus for when we get to that park, and then we'll have dinner, and then we'll have 2 Fast Pass Pluses waiting for us after dinner, and then the evening show, whether it's Fantasmic Illuminations or Wishes. And it really makes for a nice day, because you know that it's kind of like one of those things you're saving the best for last. Like you're and it's not even that bad. In the morning, you don't have that long of standby lines and you're more fresh. You're more excited about being there, you know, in the first few hours. You know that when it starts to get bad, say at the Magic Kingdom around 12 or 1, and it starts to get really hot, you're bailing out of there and you're going to go back and swim, which is a lot of fun. But then, you know, like you don't have to be stressed out like, oh, the crowds are building, the crowds are building. You have it kind of guaranteed, like you can hop, like we'll hop over to Epcot for that evening where maybe our dinner is. So we had some fun in the Magic Kingdom in the morning. We get to get some swimming, enjoy some time at our resort, and then we'll hop to Epcot or another park in the evening, ride an attraction, whether it's Soarin' or Test Track. You only got to do one. You know, in the evening, you're not trying to do 17 attractions. You're trying to get 4 or 5 in and, you know, see some fireworks. And what it does is, you know, with if you think about it, if you can go to a park in the evening and just get, you know, 3, 4 maybe good attractions in, plus have a nice meal, plus in the night with a fireworks show, I mean, right there, that's gravy. And in the morning, you had a lot of attractions because you didn't have as long of lines. And plus, you didn't kill yourself because you didn't stay in the park at, you know, at the craziest time of the day. So in general, you know, I'm not going to get into the four parks, but that's typically how we handle it. Do I use the rolling fast passes? I never have. You know, and again, it's not that it's wrong, because again, if you're trying to maximize the amount of attractions you see and that's your touring style, this wouldn't work very well for you, because it doesn't. But I'm not one of those people that says I have to do 17 attractions, because I'd rather not be exhausted. I like to do maybe 5 or 6 in the morning, go for a swim, come back and do 3 or 4 at night in a different park with my supper, know that I'm going to see those fireworks at the end of the night. And that's a wonderful day for me. You know, 9 to 10 attractions, fireworks, and a good dinner and resort time and a nap. I mean, that's, Pam, that's kind of how I look at it. And I think you're kind of along those lines too. And one of the things I heard you mention is that, you know, one of the big things is to make sure you have that My Disney Experience app and on your phone and updated and ready to go, logged in. And, you know, just don't be scared to cancel one, change one, flip them around. Because, again, you do need to be spontaneous on a trip. You don't want to be locked in and say, I can't change, because you can. I mean, I've gone up to Space Mountain and seen, oh, man, the standby is only 15. I'm canceling that one and, you know, rescheduling it for another attraction on the other side of the park. I mean, exactly. Don't be scared to take out your smartphone and modify things on the fly, right?
Right, absolutely. And really, I've only been burnt that one time. Dang, Safari! So, anyway. But, no, I mean, we do it all the time. All the time. And, you know, we were going during spring break, and I switched stuff around and got Seven Dwarfs for the next day. I mean, and it was a really busy time. So, Mike's advice about always checking is something that you have to do. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with Anna and Elsa, because I think the cancellations for those in particular are much less frequent than they are at any other attraction. But most of the other ones we've been able to get, you know, there will be times when I realize either through, you know, last minute planning or poor planning on my part that I'm going to Disney World in like a couple weeks and I haven't done anything yet. And I've still been able to get to what I want. So, I mean, flexibility is the key. I think that one of the biggest complaints I hear about the FastPass Plus system as it exists right now is that it requires so much planning. And you're right, it does require some planning. But look at it as an investment in your trip. Spend the time now or spend the time later. If anyone had given me the chance, let's say there wasn't My Disney Experience and someone had given me the opportunity to take a little bit of time now to plan my fast passes or to run through the park and get them when I got there, it would have been an absolute slam dunk that I think 95% of us would have planned them from home. Rather than waiting till you get there to do it. So, I mean, I still think it's the way to go. It's just really perspective, I think, is a lot of this.
Absolutely. And it's kind of great that we did this show today, because, again, the live show is this Sunday, and we're going to carry that conversation right along to the live show. We hope that you'll give us a call and share your general strategy for what what are you thinking when it comes time, 60 days, 30 days, whenever you're making your FastPass Plus reservations. Do join us this Sunday night over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. We'll go on the air at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We're going to take your calls, but this is going to be one of the focal points of this show because, again, lots of summer vacations are coming up, and that booking window is really, you know, opening up now for the summer. So let us know your strategies, and let's help us all think about different things as far as really using these FastPass Plus reservations to the best of our ability to get a great Disney vacation. So join us Sunday night. And don't forget today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. At the top of the show, I mentioned the great summer special if you want to head down to Walt Disney World. That can save you a lot of money and help you get down there during one of the greatest times because you got the pools and everything. It's hot and you can, you know, take advantage of a lot of the stuff that you wouldn't want to do in the cooler times of the years. But also, if you're thinking about sailing on the Disney Cruise Line, right now is a great time to think about sailing in 2016. And I know you might be saying, you know, Mike, that's crazy talk, you know, like talking about August of 2016 or even September of 2016. But let me tell you how it works. Right now, you can get on, you know, get with the agent over at the Magic for Less, fill out that free no obligation quote. Just think about a time that might work out for you and get a quote. And once you put that deposit down, you are locked into a really great rate. And it's still very flexible that if you need to move the date around, move the kind of stateroom you want around, that's doable. That's very doable. But you're going to have the best prices the further out you book. And right now, you can book Disney Cruise Line through September of 2016 and get some outstanding rates. I've seen some great rates for sailings on the Fantasy, you know, both Eastern and Western Caribbean. Also, some of those European sailings. There's really some great rates out there now. And we just know historically, those rates are going to go up over the next months and months. So if you're thinking about it, jump on that. You can put your deposit down. It's fully refundable for a long time. You got a lot of time to kind of make that final decision, but you can get locked into a great rate. And that's just, I'm just telling you, I'm excited for the Disney cruise that we're taking, you know, with the podcast cruise here in about 91 days, but there's just nothing like it. If you've never done it and you're a Disney fan, you need to really take that leap. And right now is a great time to schedule a cruise for 2016. And when you book with one of the agents over at the Magic for Less, you're going to get a great onboard credit to spend, just like cash on board, however you like. A spa treatment, a great adult dining experience, port adventures at Castaway Key, you know, whatever you want to do, that money's there for you. So check them out today. Have a great Disney experience and work with one of the great agents over at themagicforless.com. Again, check out Magical Mouse Radio, great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24/7 right there when you're missing Walt Disney World. We have the sounds right at magicalmouseradio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Please keep the ratings and reviews coming on iTunes. I know that I've said that a lot in the last couple weeks, but it is so helping us. So please, if you have a chance this week and you haven't put one up lately, drop by iTunes and give us a rating and a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. Also, Mike wants us to remind everybody one more time, lizards. Hey, and if you want to be a lizard, just let us know. We have no requirements. We just get together, support each other, getting out there walking, running, jogging. And it's a great, great inspirational community. So many people I am so proud of have said in the last couple of weeks that, hey, this is my first run in 10 years. And I'm doing it because everybody's encouraging me. And that makes me feel so great because I was there a couple of years ago now. And it's because of you guys that I'm out there running like a maniac now. And we just want to keep this kind of chain going. So if you want to be a lizard, just drop me an email, mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Drop by the Facebook group. It's called the Be Our Guest Podcast, or it's called the Be Our Guest Lizards on Facebook. So just drop by there. Mike will take care of you. And finally, we need to get those shirts ordered. So if you want a lizard shirt, drop by Be Our Guest Lizards on Facebook. Mike will get you the information. You give him your size. He'll let you know how much it costs. He'll mail it out to you right away. But they're great lime green lizard shirts. They're great for running and training and wearing in races. And we just thank everybody who's a lizard. It's a really inspiring thing. I thank you because it keeps me motivated seeing all you guys out there. I can tell you that. It gets me out of bed. It's, you know, sometimes 5:30 in the morning before the sun comes up. It's because, hey, everybody else is doing it. I better do my part too because I'm a part of a big team and everybody needs to pull their weight. So I appreciate you guys so much. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. We apologize for running so long, but we wanted to get that information out there because we want everybody to have a great trip and we want to continue this again on Sunday nights. So we hope you'll carve out some time this Sunday night to join us. Magical Mouse Radio, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike wishing you a terrific weekend. Whatever you do out there, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.